We hear again from the text of John 2. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. In the name of Jesus. There is an old Far Side cartoon that shows a dog riding in the back seat of his owner's car as they're pulling out of the driveway. And he's happily wagging his tail as he sticks his head out the window to tell his friend dog next door where he's going for this great trip. His friend dog is named Biff, and Biff is looking at his friend, his buddy, in the backseat of the car, wagging his tail, going on a car trip. And the dog in the car gleefully says to his buddy, "Ha ha, Biff, guess what? After we go to the drugstore and then the post office, I'm going to the vets to get tutored." So if you're going to some place, you might want to know what's going on in that place. If you're going to the vet's office, it's good to know the distinction between being tutored and being neutered. And then we can ask, what is really supposed to be going on at the temple in Jerusalem? If you're going to the temple, it's good to know. Clearly, Jesus, on the one hand, and then on the other hand, the priest, the Sadducees, and the king, have different ideas about what is to be going on in the temple. Kind of like the difference between being tutored and being neutered. The two things just don't meet up. The priests and the Sadducees and the king have one agenda, Jesus has another. And as the text tells us, Jesus is then in the temple with a whip, driving out the sellers of livestock and money changers, spilling money all over the floor and flipping over tables. So first, it's good to get clear what the temple is for. What is supposed to be going on in that building? Obviously not what they have going on. Jesus makes that clear. But what is supposed to be going on in that building? So we start with when the temple was built, when it was put up. That was by King Solomon, 960 years before Jesus. Solomon built the temple as he was instructed to do by the prophet Nathan. Then, later in 587 BC, the Babylonians swept into town and burned the temple to the ground, tearing down all the pillars and stones. The Lord had the Babylonians come in and destroy the temple because the Israelites had been worshiping false gods. Then later, the Lord had Ezra and Nehemiah rebuild the temple in 516 BC. And then the temple fell into disrepair. So then around 20 BC, Herod the Great restored the temple and expanded it. And that brings us up to the account we have before us, where Jesus walks through the temple with a whip, driving out the livestock sellers and money changers, throwing things on the floor and flipping over tables. So what was supposed to be going on in that temple? And for that, we hear from Solomon, who built the first temple at the Lord's direction in 960 BC. When the temple was built, after it was done, Solomon gathered Israel. Scripture says, all the congregation of Israel. He gathered them to the dedication, and he gave a great prayer of consecration for this new temple. It's a very long prayer Solomon gives, but for just part of it, from 1 Kings 8. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. And then he continues, and we're given to see what is really supposed to be going on in this temple. Then Solomon prayed, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, O Lord, how much less this house I have built. Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be opened night and day toward this house, the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers toward this place, and listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. And listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When your people, O Lord, pray toward this place and acknowledge your name and turn from their sin, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. 1 Kings 8:34. What was supposed to be going on in the temple? O Lord, says Solomon, listen in heaven. And when you hear, forgive. Everything in the temple is ordered toward the forgiveness of sins, not toward the fine clothing and fancy rules of the Sadducees, not toward the showy ritual sacrifices enacted by the priests, not toward the impressive building and architecture put up by the king, but toward the forgiveness of sins. Everything in the temple is ordered toward the forgiveness of sins, toward the justification of the sinner, toward the cleansing of the conscience before God. Anything else is not of the temple. So when Jesus, entering the temple, walks past the guards belonging to King Herod and looks at the flowing gowns of the Sadducees and sees the priest demanding more and more sacrifices from the people, and hears preaching which says nothing about the forgiveness of sins, nothing to cleanse the conscience of shame, nothing to proclaim the gift of eternal life to those living in the midst of a culture of death, Jesus starts driving the money changers and the sellers of sacrifice out with a whip, overturning their tables because their tables had nothing to give to the sinner. Zeal for your house will consume me. The apostles remembered that. Those were words to be spoken by Jesus, John 2:17. The zeal of the Sadducees is to be successful, dress in fine clothing, and have the highest seats at the table. The zeal of the priest is to have ever more sacrifices so they can make incessant prayers of repetition. The zeal of King Herod is to have everyone consider him legitimate because of his government's building programs, of which the temple is the pinnacle. The zeal of Jesus, though, is to forgive sins, to justify the sinner, to cleanse the conscience. By chasing the pretenders out of the temple, by restoring to it its purpose of forgiving sins, Jesus consigns himself over to death. The Sadducees and priest and the king will make sure of that. He is now on his way to the cross. They cannot let him live. But tear down this temple, says Jesus, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus spoke of the cross, of his own death, his tearing down, and of his resurrection. John 2:21. Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. When therefore Jesus was raised up from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. Everything in the temple is ordered toward the forgiveness of sins. Jesus stands as the temple. Torn down on the cross, raised up in the resurrection, Jesus is the temple for you and me. Now Jesus gathers us into his church. When you walk into a place, you want to know what goes on there. You don't want to be the dog being taken to the vets thinking he's going to be tutored. Now as Jesus resurrected comes to us in his word, as he gathers his people each week to receive his body and blood, we want to know why he gathers us into his church. And we know. If you are not a sinner, you don't belong here. For everything in the church is ordered toward the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus, amen.